With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello everybody and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. I'm Ben here in the glorious windy Mancunia, also very windy where he is. He's James Hayes. James, what am I doing? That's a terrible intro, isn't it?
I know. You already caused some postponements this week, so.
Yes, there's some postponements which we need to talk about. So we have entered that period of the season where on a Saturday morning, supporters and listeners and footballers and managers should all be looking outside their window and going, don't like the look of that. But more on that later, as we'll be joined by Mark Carruthers from the North East Football Podcast. He'll be joining us for a full fixture preview for this weekend's matches, which will be 100% cast iron guarantee on this weekend. But of course, do check Twitter before setting off. And also coming up on this week's show, we are going to be catching up with a few of the managers involved when it comes to the league. But James, we've got you on to review all the results from this past week, both in league and in trophy. We'll start off with the trophy, if that's all right, because we've had some epic results from Saturday afternoon. But let's start off by talking about Farsley Celtic, James, in the third qualifying round on Sunday. They beat Alfreton Town away from home by 2-0. Marvellous. Congratulations to everyone at Farsley Celtic. James, what's your take on it?
Great result from there. Alfreton have been doing all well in the Conference North, especially away from home as well. I think everyone's expecting that one to be more of a replay, but to go there and absolutely dominate the game says quite a lot of what Farsley can do. And again, as I said last week, watch out for them now in the league.
And next up for Farsley Celtic in the first round of the FA Trophy, they'll be taking on AFC Telford United. Brilliant stuff, and we will be hearing from Adam Lakeland in the coming weeks before that game, which will be taking place on the weekend of Saturday, the 15th of December. So we'll hear from Adam Lakeland on next week's show. But also joining Farsley Celtic through to the first round, another great result, Basford United. Take a bow, everyone. Basford United 2, Curzon Ashton 1. A brilliant result, that Basford through. And I'm pretty safe in saying this. The furthest they've ever gone in the competition. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure about that.
Yeah, it's the first time in the first round of either the FA Cup or FA Trophy. So congratulations to them at the same time. But they absolutely battered Curzon by the sounds of it. The way Martin Curzon has got his team set up. But again, in the next round, this is tied around for them. Not just for our league, but in general.
This is brilliant. And I think this goes to show you, firstly, how far this particular club has dropped, but also how high Basford United have gone. And they're going to meet halfway. Basford United travelling to Chesterfield. Brilliant. And we will get Martin Carruthers on as well in the coming weeks to talk about that particular game. But big, big congratulations to both Farsley and Basford United there. Slaying National League North competition. Now, it's not all been good news with regards to NPL against National League North opposition. Leamington beat Witton Albion by 2-1. And I think from Andrew Simpson's comments and reading Cal McCauley's comments, immense pride in what Witton did on the afternoon, but a bit of disappointment as well that they couldn't get it over the line, certainly to a replay where I think if it went to Winchin Park, Witton would have been favourites. Also going out to a National League North opposition is Marsk United, but what an occasion. Over 600 fans there at Croft Park. Blythe Spartans 4, Marsk United 1. It's what it's about. We spoke to the manager last week, Carl Jarrett. It's what it's about. It's playing the likes of Blythe Spartans and having these occasions. So onwards and upwards for Marsk. There was also more departures as well from NPL Towers with regards to the FA Trophy. Stratford Town 2, South Shields 1. Very, very unlucky there, South Shields.
Yeah, again, another gut-wrenching 90-minute goal. Again, another one that by the looks of it, South Shields still are buried, but it's, again, they're away form that they've had this season.
Commiserations there to South Shields, but let's talk about some of the matches that went to replays as well, James. A big congratulations to Lancaster City, but also a big unluckiness to Lancaster City as well, because they were 2-1 up heading into the 90th minute, and then Will Thornton got an equaliser for Geisler. So that's gone back to a replay. That replay was due to be played on Tuesday night. That got postponed. So this one's going to go on to next week, I'd imagine.
We're still waiting for the dates on that one. But yeah, it was literally a late call-off as well. I think it was 7:15 referee decided that it was the weather was too much for him that night.
But yeah, well played to Mark Fell's side there. Hopefully they can get it over the line whenever that replay gets played. Also going to the replay at the weekend was Pickering Town 0, Ramsbottom United 0. That replay was played on Tuesday evening, and when I get to it. And on Tuesday evening, Ramsbottom United went through 2-1 with Carl Jacobs getting the winner on the 89th minute. So big unluckiness there for Pickering Town. But a big congratulations to everyone at Ramsbottom United through to the first round of the FA Trophy, where they'll be taking on Workington on Saturday afternoon. They defeated Stalybridge Celtic by 2-1. And safe to say, James, we'll come back to Rami in a minute, but safe to say that result for Workington, all the good news is coming in the FA Trophy this season at the moment for that club, it feels.
Yeah, it's in all club competitions at this moment in time. Two early exits from their county cups. But again, FA Cup competitions in general, that's where they've got the win so far.
I mean, we'll discuss that next week because it is a double-edged sword, because then you start to lose weekends where you could be playing league matches, and the weather's going to start playing a part, I'd imagine, in the coming months as well. But Workington will be taking on Ramsbottom United. And for Rami, let's remember where that club were with the floods this time a couple of years ago, and everything that was going on at the club, to make the first round of the FA Trophy. This is great stuff for the Lancashire club. And sadly, Stamford won't be joining the teams we've mentioned in the first round, but they were very, very unlucky, weren't they? Firstly, they got an equaliser against Barwell on Saturday on the 90th minute. Joe Brochi getting a 90th minute equaliser there for Stamford. Finished 1-1. That went to a replay on Tuesday evening, where it finished 3-3 with an epic last few minutes there with Barwell going 3-2 up, and then Joe Burgess getting an equaliser late in the day. It goes to extra time. It goes to penalties, and Barwell won on penalties 7-6. So very unlucky there, Stamford, but Barwell going through. But a big congratulations to everyone who's made it through. Just to confirm those ties again, Lancaster, if they beat Guys late in the replay, they'll be hosting Blyth Spartans. Basford United will be travelling to Chesterfield. It's an all-MPL affair between Workington and Ramsbottom United. And finally, it's AFC Telford United against Farsley Celtic. So cracking stuff there in the FA Trophy. More on that next week on our monthly review show. But it's now time to draw our eyes to the league results. And coming up shortly, we're going to be hearing from Paul Foote, manager at Northumbria United. Mick Taylor will also be coming on from Bamber Bridge. We're also going to be trying to catch up with Lee Sinnott as well at Gainsborough. And shall we get Paul Cardin on? We're not a Paul Cardin on for a few weeks. Let's get Paul Cardin on as well. So all coming up in the space of the next 20 minutes or so. And then later we'll have Mark Ruthers from the North East Football Podcast joining us to talk about the fixtures for this weekend. But James, let's talk about some of these results. The big news breaking as we record this on Wednesday evening: Hensford 1, Mickleover Sports 1. And soon after, Hensford have announced that manager Rob Smith and assistant Larry Chambers will be leaving the club, and we'll be joining our old friends at Hillso in Town. And for me personally, a big thanks to Rob Smith for always coming on the show. A great guest, and always great to hear from and great to speak to. And I wish both Rob and Larry all the best in their new role. So for more now on Hensford Town and the comings and goings this past week, we're now joined by sports reporter for the Express and Star. It's Joe Edwards. Hello, Joe. How are you?
Very good. Pleasure to be on here. Cheers for having me.
Oh, no, it's our pleasure. Joe, having you on. Thanks for coming on. So it's been an interesting week at Hensford. It's been an interesting season. But what's your reaction to Rob Smith leaving the club and going to Hills Owen?
Well, initially, not very surprised. I think, you know, if you look at it in a bit in depth, you know, I think Rob and Larry, they've both, you know, been great servants to Hensford. You know, of course, their second spell there, more than 300 games in charge. But Hales Owen, of course, I think it's an attractive prospect for the pair. I think Hales Owen, of course, you know, the same level, Southern League Central. They've kind of got things sorted off the pitch now. You know, long time stalwart of the club, Colin Brooks, kind of helping his daughter, Karen, the chairman, and now take over the club. They've got a stable footing, it seems, and they want a manager to take them forward. And the plump for Rob and Hales Owen, actually, geographically, probably suits them a little bit better than Hensford did. So it ticks a lot of boxes for both parties, really. Hales Owen want an experienced kind of management duo who can take them forward. And Rob and Larry, I think it was time for them, really, to seek a fresh challenge.
I mean, we've had Rob on a few times on this show, and you have to go back to the start of the season, and that Hensford are looking south for player recruitment, because that's where they're going to be based, and then they're shipped into the north, and then he's got to transform the whole squad, pretty much. It's been difficult from the outset, really, this season, and it has been very, very frustrating, that side of things.
Yeah, I mean, it was Danny Glover, wasn't it, that left the top goal scorer from last season, left for Nantwich because he wanted to stay in the north, and then, of course, Hensford ended up staying in the north, so that could have been avoided. I think it was James Laurie as well that ended up leaving for Nantwich as well, who got a fair amount of goals. You know, and then you I think, you know, the wider number of signings, Justin Richards, I remember, being one, and then he couldn't commit to the Northern, so he ended up leaving, and there was a few, you know, few players vice versa. He lost a couple of long-serving players as well. Ben Bailey went to Newtown, of course, who was a, you know, considered a club legend, really, down at Hensford. Tom Fawley, similar case as well, of course, up in Stixford, their nearest rival, Stafford Rangers. So the squad was pretty depleted, and he had to effectively do two rebuilds. The thing about Rob, and he had a similar thing during his time at Salford, where he'd assembled a squad and then was let go. And the one thing he can do, he's got an extensive contacts list. He's got a lot of players who want to play for him. So you'd suspect that he'll go into Hales Owen. There's a couple of players there that he's already managed in the past, Lee Hughes and Jack Ray from his time at Salford. And if he needs to add to it, you'd suspect that he can add to it because he has got an extensive contacts list and a talent pool of players, if you like.
So that's Rob Smith, and obviously, you know, we wish Rob all the best. What about Hensford? What about the future of Hensford? Because it is a sleeping giant. I mean, it's done so much with winning trophies and getting promotion and that kind of thing up and down the non-league pyramid. And when you go to Keys Park, you can't help but be struck by the size of the place. Where can Hensford go to next?
Well, I think that's a question on everyone's lips, isn't it? You mentioned there sleeping giants, of course, FA Trophy wins, promotions to Conference North, and, you know, they are, you know, a big club for the division. I think when everybody, you know, saw that Rob was appointed after, you know, Liam McDonald's spell in charge, of course, up in Sticks for Solly or Moores, and then Neil Tooth's spell didn't really kind of go to plan. Once Rob came back in, I think everybody kind of thought, right, we're back onto something now. But because of extenuating circumstances, the kind of off-field uncertainty and things like that, it never quite really came to fruition. Of course, Francis now in temporary charge, you know, looked on his Twitter and he's kind of issued a plea for agents to get in touch with him and things like that because he's been left with a depleted squad. So I think the immediate worry for the Pitmen is just kind of getting the stable squad together and making sure they can just keep ticking over in terms of results until they find that permanent successor. In terms of names that could go in, I mean, I don't know about yourselves, but I mean, there's not really one on our patch, if you like a local area that really, really stands out. It'll be interesting to see what they do because, you know, as you say, the potential there is massive. You just hopefully they can get that off-field situation solved in the next 6 to 12 months, and then hopefully consolidate for now, and then perhaps it would be next season or maybe even the season after that where they can really start looking upwards again.
Well, Joe, a big thank you for joining us. Joe Edwards from the Express and Star. Just before you go, Joe, just a quick plug for your work, because you don't just cover Hensford, you cover all levels of the game. Where's the best place to go to keep abreast of the non-league scene and the football scene in that part of the Midlands?
Yeah, thank you very much. You can follow me on Twitter at @JoeEdwards_star. I mean, if you follow me, there'll be kind of a wide range of stuff. I'm mainly kind of help cover Wolves, our main club, of course. But do a lot of work for the Shropshire Star as well. Spent the best part of 3 years covering Telford in National League North, and still keep my toe in there, speaking to Gavin Kerrin, who's done a fantastic job there, and just keeping an eye on the local non-league scene with our ENS teams. Of course, Stafford and Hensford, the ones in the Northern Premier. Steve Burr, speak to him on a weekly basis, and I think he's looking to do a little bit more down at Stafford. They're ticking it over okay, but I think they've got decent ambitions. So to keep things nice and short and sweet, yeah, @JoeEdwards_star. That's me on Twitter.
Let's talk about the big game at the weekend, Scarborough Athletic against Gainsborough Trinity. And, Scarborough Athletic have had their wings clipped slightly by Gainsborough. 2-0 the score there on Saturday afternoon for Gainsborough Trinity. They're up now to third position. And on Thursday afternoon, I caught up with the manager at Gainsborough Trinity. Please welcome back to the show, here's Lee Sinnott. Well, Lee, a big thank you for joining us once again on the show. A great win at the weekend. You must be dead chuffed with that.
Yeah, it was, as the season stands at this stage, it was a very important 3 points for us. I mean, if the result would have been reversed, it would have put Scarborough back to 12 points ahead of us. So yeah, very important victory, but there's a lot of the season to go yet.
And it follows on as well. I mean, five games unbeaten now in the league, three wins on the trot. That's important as well. Showing a bit of resilience after the couple of 1-0s a month or so ago. That shows your durability in this promotion and title race now.
Yeah, you'd say so. I mean, we had a decent start. We had a good start to the season. Then, as you rightly pointed out, the 2-1-0 defeats in the league, Scarborough and North Shields, were tight games, but the coin didn't come down on our side, and maybe we had a little bit of a dip, but in saying that, as it stands at the moment, we've come through that, as you said, games unbeaten. And I think going back to the sequence of these three wins on the trot, before that, I believe I'm right in this, we were like 12 points behind Scarborough, which is a lot of points, isn't it? But because we played against Bamber Bridge in the midweek, one of our catch-up games, and then played Scarborough last Saturday, we've managed to half that so far. But you only have to look at the league table, don't you? There's a lot of competitive teams in this league this year.
I mean, you're right what you're saying now. 6 points behind league leader Scarborough, with crucially those two games in hand. I mean, I could ask you the cliche question: would you rather points on the board or games in hand? That kind of thing.
I'd rather be sitting where Steve is at the moment, Steve Kittrick of Scarborough. Obviously, and you've got the points on the board. It's up to other people's to react what you've done. And I mean, Scarborough have had a magnificent start to the season. The two games we played against them, because we played each other in quite quick succession, probably about 4 or 5 weeks. They've been close. They have, two evenly matched teams.
And when it comes to the title race and the promotion picture, we spoke at the start of the season. You made no secret of where you'd like Gainsborough to be in the non-league football pyramid. This is a very, very competitive race. I mean, you could make an argument to go all the way down to 8th at the moment, even 9th perhaps, with the games in hand and all that. Do you even look at the league table? I mean, it's a question I've asked a lot of managers in the promotion pitch at the moment, but do you look at the league table or are you thinking, I'll look at it in January when everything's settled down?
I'll be honest with you, I look at it every now and again. I mean, I'm not poring over it every day of the week. I mean, obviously the table takes care of itself with the results that you get, but it's interesting sometimes just to do a bit of analysis on the league, with the amount of games each team has played, the split between home and away games. So you're thinking, what kind of sequence of games, other clubs have got coming up. But, it's vitally important that you just look after your own ship. If you're putting points on the board. You know, everybody else, you know, has to react to that, don't they? Like I mentioned, so you know, you don't go overboard with looking at the table at this stage, no.
And this weekend, you've got a home trip, which is nice, against Witton Albion. Witton Albion coming out of the FA Trophy last weekend in very unlucky circumstances. They'll be lucky to bounce back. They look like they're in a very false position where they are in the league table. What are you expecting from them?
Expecting a very, very tough encounter. I mean, we played Witton earlier on in the season. It was a 0-0 draw. You probably, if I was a neutral, neither team, in my view, you know, deserved to win it, but neither team deserved to lose it. And yeah, they have seemed to be in a false position, so we'll be very wary of that. I mean, their goals against record is very credible as well. So, you know, we'll have our work cut out. I mean, and, you know, this is what we've been saying to the players all week. Okay, you've gone to the top of the league and you perform very well. You've secured the points and come back, but everybody's treated the same, you know, in my eyes, whether it's Scarborough or it's, you know, at the bottom of the league. You cannot think that you can just turn up and just be gifted the points. We had a very tough game against Witton, and I'd expect the same.
Lee Sinnott, their manager at Gainsborough Trinity, joining us this week on the Evostick NPL show. Scarborough have played two games more than Gainsborough Trinity, and Gainsborough Trinity, sitting in third position, are 6 points back. So it's getting interesting, James, up at the top. But you would rather have points on the board at this stage. And I already know, after speaking to Lee Sinnott in the future, that's what he said.
Yeah, massive, huge result there for Gainsborough, and they're starting to prove as well. Good three unbeaten now against good quality sides.
Could then the team in second position, Nantwich Town, capitalise on those drop points by the league leaders on Saturday? Well, guess what? Yes, they could. They beat Marine on Saturday by 3-2, with a late winner there for Nantwich Town to seal all 3 points. So Nantwich Town move 1 point behind Scarborough Athletic now, and following 3 points there for Dave Cook's side, Nantwich Town's YouTube channel caught up with Dave Cook, manager at Nantwich Town. So let's hear what he had to say post-match.
3-2 win against Marine. What are your first impressions from the late win?
Well, if I was Marine's manager, I'd be sick, to be perfectly honest with you, because, you know, they've deserved something out of the game. And I've got to say that when we played there and we won 1-0, there was nothing in the teams. But we've got this spirit at the club, and the spirit is that never say die. You know, we have passages in the game where we don't play as well as we can do, and I think we can dig in a little bit better. But you can't fault the lads that they've never give up, and we've scored that winner at the end.
Obviously, you know, 2 goals in the second half for Marine obviously didn't really do much for it. But, you know, was grabbing an electric start like today, you know, 2 goals in the first 10 minutes, important for you?
Yeah, well, again, they had the first couple of chances of the game, and I thought we scored both goals, which were good goals, possibly against a run of play. We didn't seem to get our passing game going today, and we did say at half time, look, we're doing our best to try and give them a leg up to get back in the game, and we give them one, then we give them the second one, and their tails were up. And we say all along, I think they're third from the bottom, but anybody can beat anybody on the day. Yeah. And so, look, I'm made up that we've won the game 3-2.
Yeah, two substitutions as well, combining for that late 90th minute goal. It was Joe Malkin and Steve Jones. Was that you know, inspirational coming off the bench?
Well, Steve Jones has throughout his career has always scored goals, and if there's ever a ball in the box and it's bobbling about, you want Steve Jones to be on the end of it. Joe Malkin has done fantastic since he's been at the club. He works so hard, shuts everything down, and he's got that quality. And it was a fantastic cross and a bullet headed by Jonah that won us the game.
Big thanks there to Nantwich Town's media team. Dave Cook, manager of Nantwich Town, speaking following those 3 points against Marine. Well and truly involved. Farnsley are in fourth position. We all know about the number of games they've got in hand over everyone else, so they can't be ruled out. The good news is for Farnsley, while they were doing their FA Trophy exploits, obviously Scarborough are dropping points. That means for Farnsley sitting in fourth position, the gap stays at 7 points. They've got 4 games in hand now. So that's they're in this as well. As are Warrington Town. And Warrington Town got an excellent 3 points on Saturday. They beat Hyde United by 2-1. Let's hear now some thoughts from the manager at Warrington Town. I caught up with Paul Carden on Thursday afternoon. So, Paul, a big thank you for joining us. A great win at the weekend there. And well, it's been a weird November for Warrington because you're in the playoffs. You've had some good performances. But it's because of the FA Cup and that, it kind of gets in the way, doesn't it? But it has been a decent set of results for Warrington of late.
Yeah, we've been a bit up and down in November. When we played Halifax in the FA Cup, which seems an age ago, when we should have beat them in the first game, we didn't. We made a, you know, what Robbo, who holds his hands up, he made a mistake which led to an equaliser. And then on the Tuesday, they were better than us. It was like they had a point to prove. And from then on, it kind of derailed us a little bit. We, you know, licking our wounds, a little bit disappointed, and one or two injuries sort of surfaced from the back of it. And all of a sudden, you know, things look like the wheels have fell off a little bit. You know, a couple of defeats and what have you. But, you know, last week and the performance against Basford, we should have won. You know, but last week was on the scoreline, reflecting on the scorelines, it's tight affair. But, you know, we've had a lot of chances last week and should have won more convincingly. But certainly I was pleased with the last two performances. But like you say, November's been a bit of an up and down one for us.
And that's the thing. I mean, we talk before the FA Cup and you know, we big it up and all that, and we do the same with the FA Trophy. But when you go out the way you did, and it does take a lot, doesn't it? I've seen it from my own side. It does take a lot to turn the ship around at that point. And that's the downside of cup competitions at our level, I suppose.
Yeah, it does. There's obviously disappointment from the Saturday, and then Halifax being the type of team they are, you know, the full time and two leagues above. You know, they were never going to sort of perform as bad as they did. That's not taking anything away from ourselves because we played really well. But there was always going to be a point to prove for them, and they did that. And on the back of, you know, Tony McMillan getting an injury, which has ruled them out for a while, and then Alex Whittle come off with an injury, and then all of a sudden you start getting a few. But like you say, you know, I would never want to take the cup competitions and getting as far as we can. I'd never sacrifice that, because I think it's not only as important. Good teams stand those tests and come through those tests, and you know, I would always want my teams to progress as far and as long as they can in the cup competitions.
So two good results, like you said, the Basford draw and the win against Hyde United last Saturday, puts Warrington back in the player positions. And it's a weird one at the moment because you've had a good cup run. You're a bit behind everyone else. There's all Farsley even behind you. So you're still involved in the title race as well. So are you even looking at the league table at this stage of the season?
You know, the gospel truth, I never looked too far ahead, and I know it's an old cliche, and I know, you know, a lot of people use it and don't really. I never looked too far ahead at fixtures. You know, B's my assistant, he knows who we're playing, you know, in 3 months' time to the day, what time the bus is leaving, and that type of thing. I never go that far, because I think if you look too far ahead and you come away from what's happening right now, you tip over yourself, and I've never been a believer. I was never like that as a player, and you know, I haven't took that into coaching and management. You know, we're in the mix. It's where we want to be. We've got games in hand as of Farsley, but like you say, this level, the games in hand, although they obviously mean there's an advantage over other teams, but you've got to take that. And you know, when the fixtures are then played, because you've progressed in the cup, when they're played on a Tuesday night, and you might be having to go to, like, Whitby away, for example, or one of them. It can be as much of a, you know, a sort of scupper your progress of what you want to do in the league because of travelling on Tuesday nights and that type of stuff. But it is what it is. You are where you are, and you know, you have to take that. And you know, we've got the games in hand. Hopefully we're still in the mix when the games in hand comes round, and then we can capitalise on that, on those points that can be gained.
Well, the good news is, Paul, this weekend you've got just a short trip, really, to Marine. And obviously, you know, I'm a pundit, a presenter. I have to play this game on paper. You don't play the game on paper. This is a tough game, this, isn't it? Marine, even though they're in the relegation places, it's Neil Young's side. They're beating National League North opposition this season already in cup competitions. So they're no mugs. This is a tricky game for Warrington.
Yeah, definitely. I was just saying earlier that every game since I've been at Warrington we've played against Marine has been very, very tight. We had one at the beginning of last season where we beat them convincingly, and that's the only time. You know, they're closely fought, both sets of players know each other well. We've got a couple of players who were at Marine last season. I think they've got Jerry Kinsella, who was with ourselves last season. So, you know, everybody knows each other. There's obviously that local rivalry that comes with the fixture. And, you know, like every 3 points, every team is fighting for whatever reason, but ultimately they want the 3 points. I mean, they're, like you've alluded to, they're down the bottom, scrapping, fighting for it. We're up the top, scrapping and fighting to stay up there. They want to get out. They want to claw some points and get out of those, you know, those troubles, if you like. And obviously, Youngie, knowing him as well as I do, he'll be wanting to get one over because we beat them in his first game. So, you know, he'll want to revenge that. You know, it's as simple as that. But we've just got to make sure we play up how we have been, because we've been strong. I'd like us to be more clinical if we get the opportunities, because we've created chances. But you know, we've just got to focus on what we're good at, play to our strengths, and hopefully that'll be enough on the day. But I know they won't roll over. Certainly, that, you know, this is going to be a tight battling game.
Paul Carden there, manager at Warrington Town. Warrington Town 2, Hyde United 1. Warrington Town in fifth position, 7 points behind league leader Scarborough with 3 games in hand. So certainly, wow. That's all we're going to say on the matter. Just wow. It's brilliant stuff. Baysford have just dropped out of the playoffs then following Warrington's moving into the playoff positions with that win. But Baysford, 8 points behind league leaders Scarborough with 2 games in hand. And let's just say their goal difference is pretty good. Let's talk about some of the other results from the weekend, and let's go down towards the bottom of the table, because this was a brilliant result, this for Paul's foot side. Grantham Town 1, North Ferriby United 2. North Ferriby United, they're picking up their second win of the season. 8 points from safety now. But as we said last week, James, Sutton Coldfield Town were a lot further back last year when they clawed it back towards the end of the season. Let's hear the thoughts now of manager at North Ferriby United. Here's Paul Foote.
So, yeah, it was a good one. It was good to get the win. But basically, if we're going to lose again at weekend, it kind of takes a sting off it. So the big thing is the reaction, and to carry that on into this weekend, really, more than anything. Got to keep our feet on the ground, really. That's not it yet, just because we won that weekend.
I mean, we'll come to this weekend's match against Lancaster shortly, but just a mention for Gary Bradshaw, who got the winner. I've got to thank Tom Feeney for this stat. His 244th goal for the Villagers. That's quite some service there, and it's good. His 244th goal was pretty good as well.
Yeah, well, to be fair, when I signed him, the first thing I said to him was I challenged him if he could get 250. So he's on his way there. And I mean, Gary's Gary. We know what we get with Gary, and we've put him in centre midfield, and you could see his experience, and you could see the way that he dictated the game, and you know, he helped young Jack next to him along the way. But yeah, massive for Gaz. Really, really pleased for him. I mean, we all know he can still do it at this level. So, yeah, he's just come and proved everybody right that he can still do it, really. A big congratulations to Jake Martindale. He scored his first goal for the club at weekend. And I know Jake, obviously, he's an Ellerton lad, so he's round this with the Villagers. Used to go and support the club. Come through the ranks kind of like as a youth team member and that. So it was good for him to get his first actual senior goal for the club. Don't really think he's been given much chance this season. And I just liked his attitude. So giving him a chance, and he got his reward with a goal at weekend.
And we obviously spoke when you first came back as manager of the club. And you have been busy, it appears, you know, recruiting players and changing things around a bit. How's this period been at the club?
It's been tough, really, because obviously the first few games was against top 4 or 5 teams. So, I mean, no excuses, but they're basically the punished us for every mistake that we made, and their experience well and truly outshone our youth. But what we have done is we've got rid of a few dead wooders, so to speak, and the people who maybe don't fancy it as much. And we've got some hard workers in, some people who are going to dig deep and, you know, work hard, really. because at the end of the day, we're at the bottom of the league. We ain't got time for people just to learn or to, you know, give people loads of time. We need to get out of this position that we're in. So what we have done is we've recruited people who we know are going to work hard first and foremost, and the rest will come. Me and Joe have worked hard on the defence, and we've done a few sessions on the defence, on what we want from them. And obviously, when we have come up against a team where we can compete, we've proved that we can beat them. So, yeah, it's been difficult, but we are getting there, and we are kind of seeing the light. But like you say, unless we don't do anything this weekend, all of that hard work kind of is a bit gone to waste.
Now, this weekend, it's Lancaster City. Lancaster City have they've been transformed too with a new management coming in, Matt Fell coming in, and they've been on a great run both in league and in the trophy. What are you expecting from them this weekend?
Well, like you say, they've transformed it, so it's going to be tough. We know that they're going to be coming to us, and what they will have done is they will have penciled us in as a team to come down here and win against us. So we obviously have to be resilient, and we have to be tough at the back. And, you know, we need James Percy and Jack Mill to be on it like there was that weekend, and to be dictating. And, you know, I spoke to James last week about captain and about being leading, and you know, if people need to be dug out, they need to dig them out, and they need to be telling people. And I think he really stood up to that weekend, and as well in training, which is what we want at the end of the day. Even in training, we want to win, and I've seen that now in James and a few of the other lads like Tom Wardbys, and that they want to win all the time. So coming into this weekend, as long as they're on it, like I say, and as long as we're trying to take into what we've done from training into the game, I'm sure we can give Lancaster a tough game and hopefully come out with something.
Paul Foote there, manager at Northumbria United, joining us here on the Evo Stick NPL show. Great result that at the weekend, James, for Northumbria, wasn't it?
Yeah, indeed. So, and again, catching Grantham off guard at this moment in time, who we're getting other than last week's result. Looking at the fixtures for Northumbria as well, give him a round about Christmas. And we've got a couple of trips on the road, but the majority of them are winnable against teams around him. So the likes of Hyde United, of Marine, Workington, they've got to start getting worried a little bit now, because you can't rule Northumbria out. Again, win like that against a team down the bottom end. And I think we said on the last show, when they start playing them teams, let's watch them there.
Well, certainly a big congratulations to Northumbria there for that second league win of the season. Also picking up a win at the weekend was Bamber Bridge beating Buxton at Silverlands by 1-0. A great result there for Bamber Bridge and their new management team. And on Thursday afternoon, I caught up with the manager. Welcome back to the show. Here's Mick Taylor. So, Mick, a big thank you for joining us. Great win that at the weekend. You must be dead pleased with that. I think that's first Bamber Bridge away victory of the season in the league, I think.
You're right, Ben. Yeah, it was the first away victory in the league. But performances prior to that, I thought we've done really well in the games, to be fair. So it wasn't a concern. It was just when we would actually pick the results up, to be fair, mate, if I'm being honest with you.
We spoke, I think, a month ago or so, when you first were appointed as manager. I mean, how's these past few weeks been at the club and getting to grips with the first team and that kind of thing?
Non-stop. That's what I can say. I've got my own business, so I run my own business, but to be thrust into the management setup, which, like I say, as I said earlier, I'm so honoured to be given the chance to do it, but I didn't know how much it would take of your time. It's like an everyday sort of thing. So there's always something that needs to be done, or someone that needs a phone call, or a phone call with someone getting in touch with you. And so that's been the big part of it, that, wow, yeah, it is. It's actually every single day something's happening.
And that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, when you look up and down this division and Step 4 as well, there's so many managers dedicated so much time to it. It is cracking stuff, what's involved, and a lot under the radar stuff. That leads me on to the fact that, you know, tonight, we're recording this on Thursday, you've got a Q&A with the supporters as well. And that's another side of management.
It is. I'm quite looking forward to it because it's obviously my first one. It gives me a chance to open up and express and give them a little bit of what's going on inside, not just my head, but the whole staff's head, because, like I say, without them, then I couldn't do the job that I'm doing. So it's a great opportunity to let them into a little bit of the insight, what's been going on this past month, short 5 weeks since we got involved.
And let's talk about this weekend's match then against Stalybridge. Bamber Bridge a bit. I don't mean to say you're in the blob, but that's what we called the mid-table pack now for previous seasons. So I feel like I have to keep the theme going. But you're in this section of teams with Hyde United, with Whitby, Hemsford, Buxton, even Stalybridge as well, where I think you all want to be looking up, all capable of putting a run together. This is a very important game to show where Bamber Bridge are.
Yeah, I think that every single game in this league, to be fair, Ben, is an important game for Bamber Bridge. We've set the stall out. We know where we want to go. We know what we need to work on. But from our point of view, we approach every single game in this league because it's so tough. It's so tough. The physicalities as well of this league is something else. Every single game is a huge game, and we approach it the same every week.
But we're heading over up to the Christmas period now. You've got your feet under the desk. What's your prognosis for where Bamber Bridge can go to next?
Like I say, I'm a realist, and everyone at Bamber Bridge are realists as well. And first and foremost, we've got to cement our position in this league. From being in this league, then we can then set out another milestone that we want to go to. But for me and for the players and for the staff, it's about staying in this league. That's paramount for us.
Mick Taylor there from Bamber Bridge joining us this week on the EvoStick NPL show. And just before we go, last week I said, how do I jazz this up in regards to the last result I gave, which was Stafford Rangers against Lancaster City, which finished 0-0. This week, no problem at all in jazzing this up. Stafford Rangers 3, Whitby Town 3. Boom, 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 boom.
So good you knocked Whitby Town Radio off the air. That's how good it is.
Oh no, that happened.
Oh, so she's at York's Coast Radio. Sorry, my apologies.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Sorry on both counts. I think that's us done and dusted, James, unless you've got anything else to add.
No, nothing. Obviously, good luck next week for all the teams in Integro as well when we get to the last 16 of the competition. But and again, don't blame us for the weather. It's been good so far. If the weather goes wrong,
It's the north. There's no Midlanders anymore. Everyone's used to this. It's fine. We're all right.
I know. But still, blame Matt Lockdown's Twitter because they're starting to put the curse on as well.
Oh, no. Oh, dear. Those are the thoughts of James, Matt Lockdown, if you're listening. But a big thank you, James, for joining us. Next week, it's going to be the monthly discussion show for the month of November, reviewing the past month and talking about the FA Trophy, talking about the playoffs, the promotion race, and the relegation picture as well. So we'll be hearing from you again, James, at the Heat and Hops next Wednesday. But a big thank you for joining us. You have a lovely weekend. Stay warm, my friend, and have a pie on us. So a big thank you there to James Hayes from the Northern Premier League for joining us this week. And it's now time for our customary fixture preview. And joining me now down the other end of the phone, I've not asked him about the weather yet in the North East, but from the North East Football Podcast, it's Mr. Mark Carruthers joining us now. Hello, Mark. How's things?
It's good. It's very windy up here. That's all I'll say. Windy and wet.
Windy and wet. Oh, that's a downside, isn't it? So what we're going to say is, dear listener, take this fixture preview with a giant pinch of salt, not because there's going to be frost or anything like that, but just because it is very, very wet as we record this. That might change on Friday and Saturday. But do look outside your window on Saturday morning or Friday night, depending on how far you have to travel, before setting off for your game on Saturday afternoon. But Mark, before we get to this weekend's fixtures, I do feel like we do have to touch upon the Blyth Spartans Mass United result. Because we touched upon it earlier with James. But you were at the game. Mass were very, very unlucky by all accounts.
They were. I mean, you look at it as a 4-1 defeat, and it looks externally, if you weren't there, it looks terrible because obviously they've gone there and it looks as if they've been battered. But it was far from that. They went a goal down, and they just never gave up. They just kept going and going. And to be honest, the first two goals are conceded came against the run of play, so they came when Mask were actually getting on top. Which kind of knocked their confidence a little bit, but they just kept going and going and going. And I would say second half, they were the better team. I mean, Blyth seemed content to sit back and just let them come at them. And the one thing I would say is Mask didn't really really test Peter Jameson, the Spartans keeper, too much. But 4-1 was incredibly harsh. And if it wasn't for, you know, Dan McGuire's one of the best strikers in the National League North for my money, and his finishing was just deadly. It was a perfect hat-trick that he scored. But Mask have got some really good players, the likes of Craig Gott, and you know, just such a good midfielder. And he, for me, outshone the Spartans midfield, which, given the level they're playing at, is quite an achievement, especially at Croft Park, which is always a difficult place to go.
Just to say, Manchester United have now dropped out of the playoffs, but should say, yes, they have got loads of games in hand, so it'd be interesting to follow them over the coming weeks. I do feel like we have to mention Morpeth at this moment in time as well. Can't mention Master without mentioning Morpeth as well. you've got a feature on them this coming Sunday in the local paper. Give that a plug now, we might as well.
It's going to be in the Sunday Sun in the northeast and Cumbria on Sunday, and it's a chat with Ken Beattie, the Morpeth chairman, and Nick Gray. Kind of looking back at where the club's been. I mean, it's not that long ago that they were sitting in the lower reaches of the Northern League second division. Obviously, they've had a great, it sounds like X Factor, doesn't it? Had a great journey, but they've been promoted into the Northern League's top tier. They've won cup competitions. They've won the Vars. Obviously, had a great day at Wembley, beating Hereford. Been promoted at the Evo Stick and have settled so easily into life at the Evo Stick. When it comes to results, I know that the games haven't been easy, but it's just a nice little look back at what they have thought of the kind of journey they've been on, and what they've thought of the Evo Stick, because I think everyone knows that there was a bit of contention about being promoted into the Evo Stick and the travelling, which, let's be honest, for them is a lot. But it's a positive piece. It's a one where they do say they're enjoying life in the Evo Stick, and hopefully I'll do them justice, because it still isn't written.
excellent stuff. Well, that'll be out on Sunday, as you rightly say, Mac.
Yes.
Let's leave the Northeast for the time being. We'll come back to that to your part of the world in a second when we talk about South Shields. But the big game this weekend, I feel, is taking place in Nottinghamshire. Basford United against Scarborough Athletic. Slight wobble from Scarborough, only a slight wobble. Basford United coming off an excellent FA Trophy result last Saturday. Basford brilliant at home. The two top goal scorers in the league. Where's this going?
I'm going to say home win, I think. I think Basford go into it in slightly better form, and I think it's one of those where you look at both sides have come up, and there was a lot of talk about them in the summer, wasn't there? You know, it was kind of big spending, I guess, was kind of floated around for a while. Nathan Watson's obviously gone in at Basford and done very, very well. I was impressed with him last season when I saw him at Colville, and looked a top player. As you say, James Walshaw's just eased into the life in the Evo Stick with Scarborough, and it's such a tight game, such a tough one to call. But I get sick of sitting on the fence when I come on here. I always feel as if I say it'll be a draw when it's a game like this. So I'm going to say 2-1 Basford win.
So brilliant what's going on in the, and James said it earlier, I think you can go as far down as Matlock Town and put a case forward to say they're going to be playoff or promotion contenders this season. It is brilliant stuff, and that's first against sixth, and we're saying that's game of the weekend. Or is it? There are some other games taking place as well, which are pretty important. And let's talk about let's stay on the Yorkshire coast and talk about Whitby Town taking on Nantwich Town. We had the post match interview from Nantwich Town's manager Dave Cook earlier. There's a mood, isn't there, at Nantwich? And he's playing a very canny game at the moment, Dave Cook, of downplaying it and just doing letting the football speak for itself and the results speak for themselves.
Which is good, because he's not given any opposition any motivation to sort of say, well, this is what he's saying, this is him getting ahead of himself, so let's go and shut him up almost. It's nice to see that approach from a manager where he is keeping a lid on things. And, you know, Nantwich, it's not so long ago, they were seen as one of the most dangerous sides in the Evo Stick, but had a bit of an underwhelming season last year and kind of come back again. A little bit of a rebuild in the summer, but they've got some brilliant players in that squad. People like Sean Cook, you know, who always looked a dangerous player whenever I've seen him play. This one's a tricky game. I mean, Whitby, I just never know what you're going to get from Whitby. Some weeks they'll look as if they could beat anyone in the league, and then they'll fall to a silly defeat. But I do say this all the time, but I do rate Chris Hardy. I think he's a top manager. I think he's a great bloke. And they've undergone a little bit of a rebuild. I admittedly brought back a lot of players that have been there in the past. People like Dale Hobson's obviously gone back, who's huge for them. This one, I will sit on the fence with this one. I think it will be a draw. But I think it'll be a hard-earned draw for Wood, because I think Nantwich go there as favourites.
Now let's talk about Gainsborough Trinity. A brilliant result, yes, against Scarborough last weekend. We had Lee Sinnott on earlier. They're taking on this weekend Witton Albion. Witton Albion now, unluckily, out of the trophy, which is probably a good thing, because then they're so far back, aren't they? They are this season's Nantwich and Stalybridge in a way. They're down the bottom end of the table, but got loads of games in hand. So I think for Cal McCauley, he'd just be glad to get a league game under his belt and get to 15 games played. For Gainsborough, they're in this now, aren't they?
Oh, massively, massively. And Gainsborough, actually my pre-season tip for the title. I think they've got so many decent players that have done it at a higher level. Sometimes you find when teams get relegated in the Evo Stick, that can be a bit of a kind of a hangover period, but I don't get that with Gainsborough. I think they've invested well. They've got a great home record as well. There's one defeat in seven, I think it is. So it's one of those where Witten are up against it here, and you're right what you said there, but the cup competitions, because there is a habit of when you're doing well in stuff like the trophy or the FA Cup, for example, it distracts from the league, and then all of a sudden you've got to pick up the league form, because they are, like you said there, I mean, they're miles behind everyone. They're sat just above the relegation zone. So what's happened now is the pressure's on Witten to go and get league wins, because you don't want to be dragged into a relegation zone. I think they're far better than the league position suggests. I think they should be comfortably mid-table, if not a little bit higher. This one's such a tough game. It's such a difficult game for Witten to go to Gainsborough, and I think it'll be a home win, if I'm honest.
And just sitting behind Gainsborough Trinity in the league tables, Fars is Celtic, and we mentioned Basford United's exploits in the FA Trophy last weekend. Fars is Celtic, blimey, what a great result that was. Travelling to Mickleover Sports, though, on Saturday, and usual rules apply when you go to Mickleover. It's going to be a lot tougher than their league position suggests for Farsley.
It's always a difficult place to go, Mickleover. I mean, I've been there twice when I was working at Spartans, and it was such a tough game. Small type ground, hot, they're always a hard working side, quite a physical side as well. So it won't be easy, but again, I think I'm not sitting on the fence, which is good. I think Farsley have got just a little bit too much for them, but again, it'll be a tight game. But I just feel like Farsley's strike power will just maybe overawe them a bit.
Now, this isn't a derby, Mark, just in case you think it is, by just looking purely at a map. Two different counties. It's Merseyside against Cheshire, and it's Marine against Warrington Town. We had Paul Cardin on earlier. I only say that to warn Mark that the manager will be listening. That's why I always say we've had on earlier. Warrington Town this weekend for Marine. Warrington, with that result last weekend, that victory, have got themselves back into the playoff positions. What about Marine this weekend for them?
I never know what you're going to get with Marine. I know that they're not having a great season, but they seem to do this every year where they just pick up all of a sudden and kind of pull away from the lower reaches of the league. But this one's obviously a really tough game. Warrington, as you say, go in there in improved form after a bit of a wobble. Paul's a great manager. He's done a great job there. And I think, to be honest, I think Warrington, I could see this one being quite comfortable if they get off to a good start, to be fair. I think they could come away with a 2 or 3-0 win.
Let's talk about South Shields then. Yes. I said Basford against Scarborough was game of the day. This one's proper intriguing, isn't it? South Shields against Matlock Town. South Shields very, very unlucky, I think, by all accounts, in the FA Trophy last week. What do you think for this? Because Matlock are in great form at the moment.
Yeah, and South Shields, I know that there's a lot of hurt there over what happened last weekend at Stratford Town. I mean, going down to 10 men and then being knocked out in the 95th minute, I think it was 94th minute. They wanted to do well in the trophy, and I think it was a competition that I know John Shaw, the captain, spoke about doing very well in. The one thing I'd say about South Shields this season is at home, they are phenomenal. It's a perfect record at home. They'll want to bounce back, and I think Mariners Park will be bouncing tomorrow because the supporters will get behind them after what happened last week. I think it'll be a home win, but again, they'll have to work hard for it because Matlock having a great season, possibly performing a little bit ahead of where people thought they might. They are genuine, well, both sides are genuine playoff contenders, and I think a narrow, maybe a 2-1 South Shields win.
Let's go from the top end of the table now to the bottom end of the table. Paul Foot was on earlier, manager at Northerby United. Got their second league win of the season last weekend. Comparisons have started to be made now, comparing Northerby to Sutton Coldfield. this stage of last season, Sutton Coldfield dead and buried. Admittedly, they did get relegated, but they did claw it back and made it very, very uncomfortable for Hales Owen towards the end of last season. North Ferriby this weekend will be hosting Lancaster City, who've transformed their form over recent weeks. What do you think for this one?
It's small steps for North Ferriby, isn't it? They've got that first win under the belt for a long time. It's so sad, I think, when you think of where the club's been in the recent past. I mean, it's not that long ago they were FA Trophy winners, and just to see them slide down to where they are now. And the one thing working against them is that every side in the league above them has got a game in hand, at least. They are still in danger of being cut adrift. But again, it as I said there, it's small gains, isn't it? They've got the first win under Paul. You had a bit of an overhaul of the squad. A few new players have come back. And this one, I think it'll be a 1-1, if I'm honest. Lancaster's form has improved, as you said.
Let's talk about Workington as well. And Workington seem to be saving their best results for the FA Trophy this season. They're 8 points behind Michelover Sports and Safety. They do have three games in hand, admittedly. Workington this weekend will be hosting Hensford Town. Now managerless Hensford Town, as we heard earlier from Joe Edwards. This is a great opportunity for Workington to catch Hensford Town on the bounce here.
It is, yeah, because you don't know what the atmosphere is going to be like at Hensford after losing the managerial team. Workington, I've got to be honest, this is terrible, but until I saw the league table, I didn't realise they were second bottom, which is a horrendous thing to say, I realise. But it's one of those where you just assume they're going to do well because they are such a big club and such a historical club. But to be sat there, they have got games in hand again because of the trophy. But as with Witten, you're now under pressure to win those games. I think Saturday is a good game for them. It's one where they are favourites. It's one where they will fancy themselves to take 3 points. And I think they'll do that because I just don't know what the reaction is going to be from Hensford, who are having a solid season, but this could disrupt it.
We talk about the teams just hovering above the relegation pitch at the moment. I think we've got to throw Stafford Rangers into the mix. Stafford Rangers this weekend will be hosting Buxton. And Buxton are a lot like Whitby, they're a lot like Hensford, they're a lot like Hyde in a way. It's like, will they, won't they? Will they get a run together and push themselves in towards playoff contention? Or is it just going to be mid-table this season? Stafford Rangers against Buxton this weekend. And also looking just behind their shoulders slightly, Grantham Town travelling to Hyde United this weekend, and that's going to be an interesting game to look at, because Grantham, from a couple of weeks ago when they beat Workington 4-1, it looked like they'd halted the slide, but then last weekend's result against North Ferriby is obviously, Grantham need to get some results at some point, don't they, and a string of results.
Yeah, and the thing is, I'm fairly certain last time I was on here, they were still in and around the playoff spots, and it was one of those where it looked as if they were going to put a genuine challenge in and kind of improve on last year's performance. But last week's defeat against North Ferriby kind of sums them up, where they have got a bit of a silly defeat in them, but they seem to be picking up more and more of them. This game's just toss a coin, I think. I genuinely don't know which way it's going to go, because Hyde, another side, you just think they obviously came up with Scarborough and South Shields, and saw them at South Shields last year, and they looked a solid outfit, and I thought they would do well in this league, but obviously they're sat just below mid-table at the moment. So this one, I think it's going to be a draw, but it genuinely could go either way.
And finally, for those people with your pools coupon at home and have counted all the draws that Mark has currently predicted, Bamber Bridge against Stirling Bridge Celtic. It'll be a brave man who says one team's going to win this one, I think. But what do you think?
That sounds like a challenge. it's an interesting one, isn't it? Stirling Bridge, they've had the season of sort of consolidating now. I know you said earlier, that Matlock are the ones that are probably the cut-off point for playoffs, but I think Stirling Bridge, I genuinely think Stirling Bridge could have a push for it. It's a tricky one, this one, on which way to call it, but I'm going to say Stirling Bridge win. I'm going to be brave and take you up on your challenge and say Stirling Bridge will get a 2-1 win there.
And don't feel like I'm done by Bamber Bridge. I coaxed him into doing that. I really did. Anyway, Mark, a big thank you for joining us. I think that's all the fixtures. I've not missed anything, have we? No, we've covered everything.
No.
Thank you, Mark Carruthers, from the North East Football Podcast, for joining us. A plug for all your work that's coming out this weekend, podcast, articles, all that palaver.
Well, as I say, in Sunday's paper in the North East, I've got that feature on on Morpeth Town and everything they're doing at the moment. I'll be at the FA Vars tie between Shildon and Sunderland North here, and all Northern League ties, so that'll be in there as well. But looking at the North East Football Podcast, we're at Gateshead Stadium tonight to record that. One of our guests is South Shields midfielder Phil Turnbull, so we'll be talking to him about their season so far, and about what the aspirations are for the rest of the season, and obviously to talk about Saturday's game. And I've also, in the process of finalising a book, which will be coming out hopefully before Christmas, but more likely after Christmas. So that's going to be on the North East success stories in the FA Vars. So keep an eye out for that one. It's got a bit of everything. There's some funny ones. There's some genuinely quite sad ones as well. So it's kind of every part of the spectrum. But yeah, hopefully be out by Christmas. But I'll keep you informed and keep everyone informed.
Twitter feed.
It's Mark Crothers _, or if you want to follow the North East Football Podcast, that's at NEF Podcast.
And that, dear listeners, is the end of this week's Evo Stick NPL show. A big thank you to the North East Football Podcast, Mark Crothers, for joining us this week. And a big thank you too from the Express and Star, Joe Edwards, for making his debut on this week's show, as well as the managers at Gainsborough Trinity, at Northferby United, Bamber Bridge and at Warrington Town. And a big thank you too as well to the media team at Nantwich Town for allowing us that post-match interview with David Cook earlier. But that's the end for this week's show. Remember, you can keep up to date with all the latest goings-on from the world of the Northern Premier League by visiting the website evostickleague.co.uk. You can also follow the show on Twitter, that's at NPL Show. But I've been Ben, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick Northern Premier League side, make sure you have fun. Bye bye.
With over 500 high performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.